CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A proposed new system for drawing Wisconsin's legislative districts is on its way to the state Senate and a likely veto from Governor Evers. The Assembly passed a Republican redistricting bill last night that gives nonpartisan staff more say in drawing up the maps. Democrats have pushed for similar redistricting reforms for more than a decade, but they say they're suspicious of this bill. Democrats say it's a ploy by Republicans to get around the new liberal majority state Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Republicans are threatening to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz if she doesn't recuse herself from a pair of redistricting cases. But a new poll out this week shows Wisconsin voters are against impeaching her by a whopping 24 points. Mike Moen has more.
The poll was released the same day Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced he's putting together a panel to look at grounds for removing the judge. A Better Wisconsin Together's Mike Brown says, based on the election and the survey, such a move goes against the will of voters.
Wisconsin voters value their votes, and they expect that their legislators will respect the results of those votes.
Brown says the poll of 600 registered voters conducted by a national firm was essentially evenly split in connecting with Republicans and Democrats. I'm Mike Moen.
Republican state senators are firing Wisconsin's embattled elections administrator, but Megan Wolf is taking the advice of legal experts and plans to stay on the job.
I will not bend to political pressure. And I think the political outcome they desire is to have someone in this position of their own choosing that would indeed bend to those political pressures.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is suing the Senate. He wants a Dane County judge to rule that lawmakers have no legal standing to fire Wolf.
When we're talking about these attacks on our democracy, this is an extreme act that we are seeing from the state Senate.
Call cites the Wisconsin Supreme Court's decision to let Fred Prenn stay on the Natural Resources Board as a holdover. Call says he expects a ruling soon enough so that Wolf can keep working on next year's elections. Republicans are trying to override Governor Evers' veto that created a 400-year-old school funding increase. The override passed the Senate yesterday, along with a move to restore $3.5 billion in tax cuts. But it won't matter. There aren't enough Republican votes in the Assembly to sustain the vetoes. Governor Evers says that public schools need the money more than Wisconsin's highest earners need tax cuts. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and you're listening to Civic Media News.
Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers expressed his displeasure with what he calls Republicans' ongoing attempt to illegally fire Chief Elections Administrator Megan Wolf. In a press release, Governor Evers stated Wisconsin Republicans' attempt to illegally fire Wisconsin's Elections Administrator without cause today shows they are continuing to escalate efforts to sow distrust and disinformation about our elections, denigrate our clerks, poll workers, and elections administrators, and undermine basic tenets of our democracy, including the peaceful transfer of power. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion care services on Monday in Milwaukee and Madison. Abortion services have been suspended in Wisconsin since last year's U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision, which overturned the 1973 ruling in Roe v. Wade. Planned Parenthood's decision is based on a Dane County judge's ruling in July that Wisconsin's 1849 law does not cover voluntary abortions. Planned Parenthood began taking appointments again today. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
A Badgers receiver announces he's leaving Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Wisconsin wide receiver Keontez Lewis says he'll enter the transfer portal to leave the Badgers at the end of the season. Lewis transferred from UCLA last year. Head coach Luke Fickell was asked last month if he thought the speedy Lewis showed some potential.
You're right. I think that you do see that's a guy that's got vertical speed for us, and he's done a great job at catching tested balls. Yeah, staying on your feet after some of those things, I think, is the next step.
The Badgers host the 2-0 Georgia Southern Eagles tomorrow at Camp Randall, kickoff at 11 a.m. NFL, Aaron Rodgers had surgery to repair his torn Achilles not far from his home residence in L.A. It was done by a Los Angeles surgeon who performed the same procedure on the late Kobe Bryant. Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Vikings 34-28, Minnesota with four costly turnovers. Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins.
You know, shot ourselves in the foot with the turnovers. Yeah, I guess that's really all I have to say.
The Packers head to Atlanta tomorrow to face the Falcons Sunday at noon. The Falcons have added several players on their defense in free agency, including Ravens defensive end Calais Campbell and safety Jesse Bates from the Bengals, running back A.J. Dillon.
They got a lot of veteran players, a lot of guys who have played a lot of ball over there. And when you're going up against a team that plays aggressive, plays downhill, you know, you just got to, you know, make sure you're on top of, you know, your assignments.
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
They're very aggressive defense. I think they're very good up front and can generate a lot of pressure, and they're going to challenge you on the perimeter.
Baseball, the Brewers open a three-game series at home tonight against the Nationals. The first pitch at 7:10. The Crew with a 4-2 win over the Marlins yesterday to take that series 3-1. The game tied 2-2. The Brewers' Tyrone Taylor on second managed to slide into home off a Sal Frelick single to take the lead in the fifth inning. Craig Counsell on Taylor after the win.
Just a great adjustment by Tyrone. It's something Tyrone's good at. He has put it on display the last couple days.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome in to the Stu Daniels Show on this Friday morning. It's the 15th day of September. I hope you're having a good day so far. Come on in, get a cup of coffee, have a seat, and we're going to cover some news and sports and weather over the next couple of hours. Hopefully have some fun, too. Let me give you some weather information. Outside today in La Crosse, it's increasing cloudiness, chance of afternoon rain, high around 74 degrees. In Eau Claire, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 67. Richland Center, increasing clouds, high around 80 degrees. In Amory today, cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, chance of showers, high around 70. And in Hayward today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 70 degrees. And in sports, the Brewers beat the Marlins yesterday, 4-2. Cubs were off yesterday, so Milwaukee now 4.5 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central with only about 2 weeks to go in the regular season. Looking pretty good for the Brewers, and they start a 3-game series with the Nationals tonight in Milwaukee. And by the way, today, the 15th of September, is Roberto Clemente Day all around baseball, Major League Baseball. So what's going on in the headlines today? Let me give you a few of the headlines. As you may know, Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers voted yesterday to fire the state's top election official, mainly for false claims of widespread fraud in the presidential election that Donald Trump lost in 2020. Also, Wisconsin's Republican-controlled assembly passed a redistricting reform plan yesterday, but Governor Evers says he will veto it. And you probably heard the United Auto Workers began a strike last night against the big three U.S. automakers. And our old buddy Aaron Rodgers last night said the surgery to repair his Achilles tendon, quote, went great. So that's a good thing. All right. Hopefully he will recover quickly. And do you think there's a chance that we'll see him at the end of the season? I don't know. They say that that Achilles thing could be a six-month rehab, but you never know about that guy. It wouldn't surprise me at all
if he came back at the end of the season. I don't think anybody's expecting that, though, so don't you expect it, all right? Hey, we've got 9 minutes, almost 10 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, and the first thing that I want to get to is a piece by a guy who knows as much or more about politics in Wisconsin than anyone, Craig Gilbert. He, for a long time, the politics guy at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I think for 25 years or so was the guy in the Washington Bureau covering politics for the Journal Sentinel. Well, he's now at Marquette University, but he still writes for the Journal Sentinel occasionally. And he has a new piece in the Journal Sentinel that I want to share with you. The headline from Craig Gilbert says, "Are Wisconsin's election maps rigged?" As Janet Protasiewicz said they were. And that is evidently why Republicans want to impeach her now if she doesn't recuse herself from the cases that have to do with the election maps. Well, here's what Craig Gilbert is saying. He says, are the Wisconsin election maps rigged? Here are the reasons. The answer is yes. And it starts out this way. It says half a year before the 2022 election, I wrote a column predicting how many seats Republicans would win that fall in the 99-member Wisconsin Assembly. It was an attempt to illustrate how meaningless these elections have become. My argument, says Craig Gilbert, was that the outcome had already been decided before any votes were cast. Forget about who the candidates are. Forget about what the issues are. Forget about what the polls say. The results in these legislative races were already baked in by how the districts were drawn, based solely on the new redistricting plan, paying zero attention to the actual campaign. I predicted that Republicans would win 63 of 99 assembly districts, give or take a seat. They won 64. Does that sound like a rigged system? That's the term that was used by the newest state Supreme Court Justice, Janet Protasiewicz, in the run-up to her landslide April election victory, which gave liberals a 4-3 majority on the court. She called the legislative maps, quote, rigged. Her comments outraged Republican lawmakers, who are outraged at just about everything these days. That's my insertion there. Her comments outraged Republican lawmakers who recently threatened to impeach her unless she recused herself from the current legal fight over Wisconsin's gerrymandered districts. Quote, you cannot have a judge who said, you know, the maps are rigged because she bought into the argument that that's why we're winning elections, not the quality of our candidates. And then she sits on that trial acting like she's going to listen and hear both sides fairly. That just can't happen, said Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The question of when judges should recuse themselves is a murky one in Wisconsin, where it is largely up to the judge in question. It's a legitimate debate, but one with lots of gray area. Protasiewicz pushed the traditional boundaries of what judicial candidates say about issues that could become before them if elected. But there's a history in Wisconsin of liberal and conservative judges declining to recuse themselves despite past opinions they've expressed on issues that end up in court. By contrast, there is no history of lawmakers impeaching duly elected state Supreme Court justices. Impeaching a justice who was recently elected by double digits in a massive spring turnout over a disagreement about recusal would be an astonishing thing to do, with far-reaching and volatile political consequences. So here's what it means to have rigged maps. This is from Craig Gilbert in the Journal Sentinel. He says, but I'm going to focus here on the issue underlying this dispute over the court, Wisconsin's gerrymandered maps, and what Pro Tsiewicz said about them before she was elected. Whether or not you think her comments were appropriate for a judicial candidate, they were essentially true. The state's legislative maps are, in fact, rigged, if you interpret rigged to mean that they're carefully crafted to produce a consistent election outcome heavily slanted toward one party under almost any circumstance. The current maps, like the previous maps in use from 2012 through 2020, lock in huge Republican majorities in both houses of the legislature, even in years when Republicans are losing big elections at the top of the ticket. Put another way, the outcome of these legislative elections is largely predetermined. It is overwhelmingly a function of the map, not the candidates or the campaign or election climate. This explains why, months ahead of time, a non-clairvoyant person like me could confidently predict within a single seat how many of the assembly's 99 districts would be carried by Republicans in 2022, and could do so while disregarding all the factors that political analysts typically consider when trying to forecast an election. Who are the candidates? How effective are their campaigns? Which side has more money? Which party is in power? What are the hot issues? And what do the polls say? I ignored all of that. So how did I come up with the number 63? Just by looking at how the new districts were drawn. I examined how voters in each assembly seat voted in the three biggest and closest elections of the past 6 years. For president in 2016, for governor in 2018, and for president in 2020. Then I averaged those results to calculate the partisan makeup of every district. This showed that Republicans had the advantage in 63 of 99 seats, even though Wisconsin as a whole is evenly divided between the parties. It also showed the vast majority of these 63 red districts were drawn to not just have a Republican tilt, but to be safely Republican. The party's edge in those seats was big enough to all but guarantee a Republican victory, given how few voters split their ticket anymore or swing from one party to another. 17 minutes, almost 18 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. We got to take a break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah.
Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at amoryfallfestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 71. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 51. Mostly sunny for Saturday with a high of 73. Sunshine and 70 for Sunday. For Monday, sunny with a high of 76. Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs to the low 80s.
Right now, it's 62.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
As we rolled out to Fenario, as we rode out to Fenario, our captain fell in love with a lady like a dove. And he called her by name, Pretty Peggy O. Will you marry me, Pretty Peggy? Will you marry me, Pretty Peggy O? If you will marry me, I'll set your cities free. And free all the ladies in the area. I would marry you, sweet William O. I would marry you, sweet William O. I would marry you, but your guineas are too few. And I fear my mama would be angry, oh. What would your mama think, Pretty Peggy O? What would your mama think, Pretty Peggy O? What would your mama think if she heard my guineas clink? Saw me marching at the head of my soldiers, oh.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Friday morning. Fenario, also known as Peggy O, and also known as the Bonnie Lass of Fife. A song that's over 300 years old now, an old Scottish folk song done by Jerry Garcia there, also done by many other artists. Bob Dylan did a version of it on his first album some 60 years ago. And that song has been, I should mention that Bob Dylan, after putting it on his first album, went for several decades without performing it again. And then when he did decide to start performing again, performing that song again, I think it was in the 90s, he started doing the Grateful Dead's version of it, Grateful Dead's arrangement, that song known as Peggy-O by Deadheads. Right now we've got 56 degrees in La Crosse, 52 degrees in Richland Center, and 24, almost 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. And just before the break, we were discussing this piece in the Journal Sentinel by longtime political reporter Craig Gilbert, asking the question, are Wisconsin's election maps rigged? He says, here are the reasons. The answer is yes. And he talked about the fact that about 6 months before the 2022 election, he was able to accurately predict just how many seats the Republicans would win in the Wisconsin Assembly. And he says it's easy to do because, as Janet Protasiewicz said, the maps are rigged. Okay, you know who's going to win. There are 63 safe areas, 63 safe districts for Republicans for the Wisconsin Assembly. And so they won 64 seats in that election in 2022. But Craig Gilbert was accurately able to predict 63, he said, within a seat or two. And sure enough, he was right after they won 64. So I was going through this piece in the Journal Sentinel, and where I left off here was where he was talking about the fact that he was able to predict months ahead of time that they were able to win the 64 seats. So he was within a single seat of what he predicted. He said he could do so. He could predict that while disregarding all of the factors like who the candidates are, how effective their campaigns are, how much money they have. He ignored all of that stuff. And he says calling this arrangement rigged or stacked or biased or baked in is a matter of semantics. The bottom line is that very large Republican majorities in the state legislature are dictated by the maps. Very few individual seats are ever up for grabs. Legislative control is never in doubt. There's no play in the system. It's not responsive to election swings or shifts in the public mood. In a state famous for close statewide elections, legislative elections are basically meaningless. Some Republicans dispute this characterization, at least publicly, so let's look at their primary objections. One objection is that their party owes its huge legislative majorities to the, quote, quality of their candidates, as Voss said, not the partisan bias of the map. There's a simple way to test this claim. For this to be true, Republican Assembly candidates would have to be overachieving politically, winning in lots of difficult districts, including districts that the party is losing at the top of the ticket. And this is how Republicans built some big assembly majorities in the past under maps that weren't gerrymandered, but there's very little evidence this is what's happening now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I made my life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report.
We are the Union. We are the Union.
United Auto Workers on the picket line at a Ford plant in Wayne, Michigan. Employees from three different companies are making history by striking at three different facilities this morning. They're demanding 40% pay raises, car makers offering about half that. GM CEO Mary Barra tells CBS Mornings,
"Our employees have been enjoying profit sharing for several years, and through the last few years it's been record profit sharing. And so the way that General Motors is set up is that when the company does well, everyone does well."
Local union leader Jesse Ramirez,
"Our CEO can afford to wear $50,000 watches and have mansions in Mexico. Our members can't afford that. Our members can barely afford to buy the product we make, let alone live the American dream."
The White House says President Biden will speak about the UAW contract negotiations later today. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers slammed state Republicans for attempting to override his partial veto in the 2023-2025 budget, which provided Wisconsin schools with continued funding for the next 400 years. According to that press release, overriding the veto would take more than $300 per student away from K-12 schools across Wisconsin. Governor Evers referred to the vote to override the veto as reckless and wrong. A Wisconsin lawsuit seeks to determine if the city of Madison has systematically discouraged women from becoming firefighters. According to a Courthouse News report, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals is determining if a female firefighter was denied a chance to join the Madison Fire Department due to sex discrimination in the department's physical aptitude test. The city of Madison uses its own physical ability test, as opposed to other cities that use an internationally approved physical ability test. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 8:35 right now, 63 degrees in Eau Claire, and 57 degrees in Amory. And by the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. Let me know what you're thinking. The phone number is 715-388-7155. By the way, you can also send me an email message. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U, stumanradio@gmail.com. And hey, just before the break, we were discussing this piece by Craig Gilbert, longtime writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he has this piece in the Journal Sentinel discussing our gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin. The fact that they are so gerrymandered, it's easy for just about anybody to predict how many seats the Republicans will win in their majority in the assembly of our 99 districts in Wisconsin. Craig Gilbert was able to predict that they were going to win 63 or 64, and that's exactly what they got, was 64. So I was going through this piece that he wrote about the fact that Janet Protasiewicz is under fire from Republicans for admitting, for saying the fact that Wisconsin's election maps are rigged. And Craig Gilbert points out that they are, in fact, rigged. And he explains why they're, or he explains the fact that they're rigged and that it's easy to predict how many seats Republicans will win. He says Republican assembly candidates are winning roughly the same number of seats you would expect them to win, given how the districts are drawn. And they're winning roughly the same number of districts that their party is carrying at the top of the ticket for U.S. Senate or governor or president. Take the 2022 election, last November. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson carried 64 assembly districts in his 2022 re-election victory against Democrat Mandela Barnes. Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels carried 60 assembly districts in his statewide defeat against Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And as we noted earlier, 63 of the 99 seats lean Republican in their makeup based on how they voted for governor and president prior to 2022. By and large, Republican assembly candidates won the districts where Republican voters outnumber Democratic voters, as these numbers show. Whatever the quality of the Republicans' assembly candidates was in 2022, it was not the decisive factor in how many seats the Republicans won. The map was the decisive factor. Same was true of the previous redistricting plan enacted by Republicans in 2011. It produced consistently huge assembly majorities of 60, 63, 64, 63 and 61 seats from 2012 to 2020, even though some of those years produced Republican defeats at the top of the ticket. For instance, in 2012, 2018, and 2020, and some produced Republican victories in 2014 and 2016. So what about natural gerrymandering? The second counter that Republicans offer to the criticism of the gerrymandered maps is that their advantage is a byproduct of the state's political geography. Democratic voters are disproportionately concentrated in populous urban areas, especially Milwaukee and Madison. As a result, Democratic voting power is confined to fewer districts. Republican voters are more efficiently spread out among a greater number of districts, giving the Republicans an edge. This is sometimes referred to as a natural gerrymander because it's the result of where Republican and Democratic voters live, not creative line drawing. And there's absolutely an element of truth to this argument. Even under a neutral map that was not designed with any political purpose, this feature of the state's partisan landscape would advantage the Republicans in district-based elections and result in more red districts than blue districts, but to suggest that this is the sole explanation for how favorable the current map is to Republicans is flatly wrong. Today's map and the previous map were intended to significantly boost the party's natural advantage by creating the greatest number possible of safe Republican seats. Doing so also required minimizing the number of competitive seats, which meant there would be fewer individual districts in play and less uncertainty about the overall outcome. My conclusion from studying the previous gerrymander was that both factors, partisan line drawing and the state's political geography, where Democrats and Republicans live, contributed significantly to the partisan tilt in the map. Numerous studies have shown that the Republican advantage in these maps was much bigger than what you'd get from politically neutral line drawing that sticks to traditional nonpartisan redistricting criteria, like keeping districts compact and contiguous and avoiding splitting cities, towns, and villages where possible. An analysis by my colleague John Johnson at the Marquette Law School echoes this. Both of these factors, gerrymandering and geography, are also at work in the current maps, which by some measures are even more tilted than the old ones. These are the maps that are coming back before the state Supreme Court, which now has a liberal 4-3 majority instead of a conservative 4-3 majority due to the landslide victory won by Protasiewicz in April. If Wisconsin ends up in the months or years to come with a non-gerrymandered legislative map, that map will probably still leave Republicans with a better chance than Democrats of winning the legislature. But that advantage won't be nearly as lopsided as it is now. And it won't be deeply artificial. It will make the overall battle for legislative control in this 50-50 state less predetermined or rigged. It will almost certainly increase the number of competitive districts. It will make the outcome of legislative elections more meaningful and more responsive to public opinion and election swings, which will make the party in power more accountable. That would be good for the state, good for elections, and good for voters, right? That would be good for voters, be good for everybody. Let's hope that happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And it seems like every day Robin Voss is saying something different about the maps, about Janet Protasiewicz, about impeaching the Supreme Court justice. I don't know if he even knows what his real plans are. We've got 8:43 right now, 8:43 and a half on this Friday morning. The next topic that I want to get to is about education. You know, we here in Wisconsin were at the forefront of the idea of school choice some 30 years ago with Tommy Thompson. And the argument was at the time that it's okay to direct funding that would normally go to public schools. We could direct that funding to private schools by allowing some students to go to charter schools or private schools so that they could, they said, get a better education than what they could in the public schools. And of course, your tax dollars go to public education, but now increasingly, it seems increasing every year as the years go by, that money, our tax dollars, are going to private schools and charter schools and schools where the children may be taught, the students may be taught, things that would not be normally taught in public schools, especially when you consider religious schools. I have a story here from the Progressive at progressive.org that says charter schools cannot claim to be public anymore. A recently passed bill in North Carolina allows the charter industry to screen students and charge tuition just like a private school. It says here, when an Oklahoma State School Board approved what would become the nation's first taxpayer-funded religious charter school, opponents of the proposal called it deeply un-American and a flagrant violation of long-standing constitutional law. An Oklahoma parents group and a handful of state and national civil organizations filed a pair of lawsuits to block the new school. Creating a taxpayer-funded religious school, quote, turns on its head the concept that charter schools were supposed to be public schools. That's a quote from American Federation of Teacher President Randy Weingarten. Indeed, they were supposed to be public schools, but anyone who has been watching the de-evolution of charter schools could see this coming from a mile away. Charter schools, which were originally proposed to be district-run, innovative public schools, have since morphed into national charter school chains, Christian nationalist schools, and facades for for-profit corporations. That's where our tax dollars are going now, to chain schools and Christian nationalist schools and for-profit corporations. Is that what we want to be supporting with our tax dollars that are supposed to be going to educate our kids? How much profit is in these for-profit corporations, and where does it go? We've got 8:47 right now. Got to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change, is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, Don.
The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 71. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 51. Mostly sunny for Saturday with a high of 73. Sunshine and 70 for Sunday. For Monday, sunny with a high of 76. Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs to the low 80s.
Right now, it's 62.
Yeah.
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Right now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 58 degrees in Hayward, also 58 degrees in La Crosse. And just before the break, we were discussing education, the fact that more and more tax dollars, more and more of our money is going to privately run charter schools and national charter school chains, chain schools, also Christian nationalist schools, and facades for for-profit corporations. And it used to be that public education money went to public schools, period. And that's it. And there were no private schools. There were no charter schools. There were no Christian nationalist schools. Those were private schools. And if you wanted to send your kids there, you could, but you had to pay for it. So I was reading from a piece at The Progressive about this issue that's going on right now, the fact that more of our money is going to these private schools. This piece has a headline that says, "Charter schools can't claim to be public anymore. A recently passed bill in North Carolina allows the charter industry to screen students and charge tuition, just like a private school." It says, "From charter schools in churches with websites displaying crosses to faith-friendly charters, the charter industry has been flirting with religiosity for years. Under former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos," I can hear people booing right now, "the federal charter school programs were given the green light to award grants to religious organizations that own or operate charter schools. During the 2021-22 school year, 20% of all charter school students were enrolled in a school run by a for-profit company. This allowed these companies to evade laws and regulations by using a nonprofit school as a facade. And it is but a small hop over a line drawn in the sand to move from the federal government funding a religious organization to run charters to funding charters that provide religious instruction in classrooms. It only takes a strong breeze and the sand lines disappear altogether. The magical transformation of what should be a public school to a taxpayer-funded private school is not a trick confined to Oklahoma, nor does the hocus-pocus turn solely on the question of religion, even as quasi-religious and perhaps overtly religious charter schools are on the rise. There's another effort intent on blurring the line between public and private. A recent bill passed in North Carolina, a state in which a large proportion of charters run by for-profits, dismisses other features that determine whether or not charter schools in fact deserve the title public. Charter schools are supposed to be free and open to all without discrimination or favor. But HB 219, passed by a Republican supermajority legislature over the veto of Democrat Governor Roy Cooper, allows charter schools to charge tuition and grant enrollment privileges to certain students. With that bill's passage, North Carolina's under-enrolled charter schools can now enlist both foreign and out-of-state students on a tuition basis. How will under-enrollment be defined? Since the bill also allows nearly uncontrolled expansion of existing charter schools, finding space for tuition-paying students will not be difficult. Who will pay the tuition? The state? The foreign nation? Or the family? North Carolina left that question unaddressed, but the likely outcome will be families, which favors the wealthy. Not only does North Carolina challenge the definition of a charter school as a free school, but it also flaunts the idea that charters are open to all. The new law erodes equal access to charter schools in the state by giving enrollment privileges to special groups, allowing charter schools to shape their student bodies. This is an extension of what already exists. North Carolina already gave enrollment priority to selected students beyond what is offered in most other states. So is it true that Republicans just want to end public education? They want to get rid of the free public education system that's now a couple hundred years old here in the United States? 8:58 right now. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Man to man is so unjust. Children, you don't know who to trust.
Your worst enemy. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.